Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
Come, Yavad Israel, come, Erech Shema Israel.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The Fourth Confession, was written by Morton Wishengrad and features Alexander Scourby as narrator in a special presentation for this month of High Holy Days.
On the Day of Atonement, the reader and two members of the congregation stand in the synagogue before the Ark of the Covenant.
With a divine sanction, and with the sanction of this holy congregation, we declare it lawful to pray together with those who have transgressed.
I have broken my word unto the Lord, and I have profaned my soul. Yet this day of my atonement, efface my transgression, God of Israel. Release me from guilt, and make clean my conscience. Once in ancient days when the temple stood in Jerusalem, the high priest entered the Holy of Holies and made an atonement.
V'chach hoyo omer, I have sinned. I have done iniquity, I and my household.
And a second time the high priest made confession.
We have sinned. We, the priests of God, have done iniquity.
V'chach hoyo omer, and a third time.
O God, all the children of Israel have sinned.
Lord of the universe, it is time for the fourth confession, which is mine. I have sinned. I and my household have done iniquity. And the people of the state in which I live, and the people of my country, we have sinned. On this day, we may not speak of things done well, of the poor whom we have raised up, of the fatherless whom we have sheltered, of the naked and the sick whom we have clothed and healed. On this day, we may speak only of things not done, and only of things badly done, and only of things that must be undone. For this is the Day of Atonement, and we must stand and declare, Al Chet Shechotonu, for the transgressions we have committed, forgive us, pardon us, grant us atonement. Pronounce thy blessing over us, and say, ye shall be clean. There is a transgression which issues from the genteel necessities of cowardice. This is the sin of weak decency. It prefers silence to speech. It practices heroism before the mirror in the closet, while in the presence of injustice, it is a cipher, trembling and mute. In this time of atonement, I freely confess this sin of cowardice. Therefore, on this day, asking forgiveness for myself, I will ask praise for those who were neither mute nor afraid. I will ask praise for the President's Commission on Higher Education, which had the manliness to be rude.
Why does your university ask the applicant's religion?
It's a matter of form.
Isn't it so that you can exclude an applicant if he's a Jew?
I wouldn't say so, no.
I would say so, yes.
Why do you ask the place of birth of the applicant's father?
These things are necessary for our records.
Your scholastic records?
Well, no.
Why do you ask the applicant to state his mother's maiden name?
I believe, that is, I understand...
Will his answer determine his ability in mathematics or languages, or will it tell you whether or not the applicant is a Jew?
Well, we are extremely anxious to ascertain the racial, national, and religious origins of our students.
Why?
For statistical purposes.
The commission smiled. It was no ordinary commission. It was a board of inquiry with the full weight of the President of the United States. It spoke.
This commission, therefore, recommends the removal from application forms of all questions pertaining to religion, color, and national or racial origin.
Praise and exalt the commission, for they were faithful to thy name. Yet in this season of Yom Kippur, it is good to remember that God commands, whereas a commission may only recommend. And between God's commandment and a commission's recommendation, there is a vast space of indifference and rebellion and forgetfulness. Still, you and I must remember, for each man alive is responsible for the sins of the society in which he lives. And each man must rise now and ask forgiveness. For the sin we have committed before thee of wronging our neighbor, we ask forgiveness.
15 million Americans live in houses without minimum standards of decency.
Sure, we don't have a bathtub. A couple of times a month I go to the Y.
Alchit Shechotonu, for this sin against them, we ask forgiveness.
Quick, ma'am. While I boil up my surgical instruments, you spread some clean newspapers on the kitchen table. I'll operate on the boy right here.
An emergency? There are many emergencies.
40% of the counties of America have no hospitals.
In 60% of American counties where there are hospitals, there is another kind of emergency.
Doctor, did the biopsy report come back yet?
Yes, Miss Smith, it came back. Why don't you sit down?
Thank you.
Mrs. Smith, there's nothing conclusive about a single examination. My experience has been that in cases like yours, it's always wise...
It's cancer.
Mrs. Smith.
I know, Doctor. I think I knew from the beginning. It's cancer.
If you'd only been examined a few years ago, even 1 year ago, if...
325,000 Americans die each year whom we have the knowledge and the skill to save.
For them, too, say Alchit Shechotonu. Say it 325,000 times. And say the Alchit for 8 million Americans who suffer from some form of mental illness. Not the least of which is a belief in the compassion of their neighbors.
I don't want to talk to you. I'm sick, you hear? I don't want to talk to no orderly. I want the doc. Tell the doc I got to see him.
The patient will have to wait. This mental institution, not far from where I stand, has one doctor for every 160 mental patients. And compared to other institutions, that's not bad. Alchit Shechotonu. Because we are responsible for the fact that there are no beds for them and that facilities to treat them are inadequate. And that doctors to heal them are insufficient.
Our mental hospitals today need 15,000 more psychiatrists.
Our mental hospitals today need 47,000 additional psychiatric nurses.
Our mental hospitals today need an additional 10,000 psychiatric caseworkers.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, let's not be carried away. Now, let's not be carried away. Consider the cost. It's staggering already. $500 million to maintain clinics and hospitals for the mentally sick.
Sir, may I ask a question?
Well, the Appropriations Committee always welcomes the questions of the gentlemen of the press. What is your question, sir?
How much has your committee appropriated for psychiatric research?
The sum of $400,000.
And how much, may I ask, was appropriated for the control of plant disease and animal disease?
$30 million.
Thank you. Millions for soil erosion, thousands for the erosion of souls. It serves no end to search for villains. There are none. The sin is with none of us, and with all of us. But atonement must be made. And this is the season when the rabbi faces the congregation and utters a Talmudic prescription.
Avirus shebeno dom lamakom, Yom HaKippurim mechaper.
For transgressions against God, Yom Kippur can atone.
Avirus shebeno dom lachavero, in Yom HaKippurim mechaper, ad sheyeratze es chavero.
But for transgressions of man against man, Yom Kippur cannot atone, unless a man go to his neighbor and make amends.
Therefore, I too will go to my neighbor, for I have wronged him. I will make confession and ask forgiveness. Because they are the most grievously injured in our society, I confess first that I have sinned against the Negroes of America. For I have seen injustice against them, and I did not cry out. I was present in Congress when an elected representative spoke, and while he did not speak harshly, intending only good, nevertheless he must be answered, for he said,
Southern courts, from which Negroes get more than justice, have an understanding of the Negro which is absent in other sections of the country. We love our Negroes.
Congressman?
Are you addressing me?
I am, Congressman.
For what purpose does the gentleman rise to speak?
I want to talk about love.
I beg your pardon?
I want to talk about love.
Well, a Negro shouldn't joke about it. Not you.
Well, I'm not joking. It was you who mentioned love. I thank you, but if it's all the same to you, I should like a little less love and a few more votes.
I want a bill of particulars. Please specify.
I'll be glad to. Three specifications, Congressman.
In 7 poll tax states, only 23% of eligible voters cast their ballots.
During the war, the U.S. Navy commissioned 8,000 officers. Negroes commissioned only 2.
According to the President's report on civil rights, the total number of Negro officers in the wartime Marine Corps was exactly 0.
Congressman, there are more specifications. Would you care to hear them?
Well, I'm not unsympathetic. I know the things you say are true, but don't push. Give us time. We're making progress gradually.
Well, gradually is too slow.
I know how you feel. Believe me. But you've got to take the long view.
The trouble is that in my house, it's only a short view to where my little girl is sitting. She's 3 years old. And when my wife talks about white people, she doesn't want our little girl to know, so she spells it out, W-H-I-T-E.
Well, what can I do about that?
I don't know. But in another 3 years, my little girl is going to know how to spell. What shall I tell her then? Tell me that.
Well, there's no good in being bitter. No good at all. Oh, wait. Let things work out by themselves. You can't legislate brotherhood.
Who says so? Well, some states have done a pretty good job of legislating no brotherhood. I offer Article 1272 of the Criminal Code of my own state.
Article 1272. It is unlawful for any concern engaged in cotton textile manufacture to employ Negroes and whites to work in the same room, or to use the same doors or stairways or windows or toilets or drinking water fountains.
Congressman?
I'm sorry.
Oh, don't be sorry for anything that can be mended. If you can legislate to build up a wall, you can legislate to tear a wall down.
It is too easy to make the South the scapegoat for all that is wrong or backward or sanctimonious in the United States. Much too easy and much too simple. Because the same Negro sometimes migrates north. And since he requires a place to live, he makes a telephone call.
Housing. I'd like to make an application in your housing project.
Well, when would you like to call?
I'm calling now.
Oh, our interviews must be conducted in person.
Oh, sure. I understand. I'll answer all of your questions at once. I'm a Negro.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. Please believe me, I'm only an employee. If it were up to me, what I mean is...
I know, Miss Smith. You mean that there's nothing personal. People should be kind to one another, shouldn't they?
Mm-hmm. Not North against the South. Not good Negroes against bad whites. People in trouble. For these sins against our own humanity, forgive us. And forgive us also for the sin of making simple things complex. Because a civil right is a plain thing. It's neither the itch to do good, nor the warm bath of self-approving righteousness, nor the condescensions of organized tolerance. A civil right is not conspicuous charity toward those whom we've privately slandered or ignored or wronged. A civil right is not a noble sentiment to be expressed by the learned in a Latin phrase. It's a homely thing. It doesn't talk fancy. Either it works or it dies of atrophy. A civil right is not a question of mercy. It's a matter of justice. And the issue is justice. The issue is America's own displaced persons.
One out of every 10 Americans who are tired of being a problem.
One out of every 10 citizens who are tired of being understood.
One out of every 10 fathers and mothers in America who simply want a little security and a little peace of mind and the blessedness of being considered people and not a cause.
It is a day of solemn fasting. And in the synagogue, the young men and the old men rise to recite a prayer and a blessing.
Shechiyonu v'kimonu v'igiyonu lazman hazeh.
Blessed art thou who has preserved us and kept us alive until this season.
His season is old age, and the blessing for him is an irony, for he fasts in his old age. He fasts continuously.
Mr. Alexander.
Yes?
Excuse me for mentioning it, but don't you like my shop?
Oh, I like it very much.
Well, then why don't you show it? I sell meat, groceries, vegetables. All you buy is bread and oatmeal.
Forgive me. I'll take some potatoes.
That's better. How many pounds?
1 pound, if you please. I'm not hungry today.
This is a lie for which he asks forgiveness on the Day of His Atonement. He is hungry each day. He and his wife, they're hungry in their old age.
We live on our Social Security check.
They're an elderly couple, pensioners of the United States of America.
I'm grateful. $39.90 a month.
For the two of them. Old man, how much do you pay for rent?
$20 a month. And it's a good room. My wife and I are very lucky.
How much do you spend for medicine?
Oh, $1 a month. Another $1 a month for doctors. That makes $2. We spend $1.50 a week for incidentals like clothing, utilities, telephone calls and transportation, and the rest is for food.
$11.90 a month for food for two people.
Mr. Alexander, don't you ever buy anything here except bread and oatmeal?
Thank you for reminding me. I'll take two tea bags.
Often, in the better parts of town, you see them slip furtively into the crowded supermarkets. The city nurses retired on their minute pensions, the retired librarians, the loyal civil servants of city and state.
Four loaves of bread, Miss Wilson, is that all?
That is all. Four loaves of stale bread, a penny less on the loaf. And stale bread is good enough for the ghostly army, the pale army of the aged.
The cost of living is up 75% since 1939.
But our aged, our pensioned, our retired must subsist on a 1939 allowance.
All the arts of medicine and the advantages of science to keep them alive so that they may be hungry in their old age. Whom do you wish to blame? I blame no one. Before a man can say one must, first he must say I must. Only then does he have the right to say you must and he must. O Lord our God, pardon the arrogance of the defeated and the alienated who willfully persist in singing thy praise. Pardon the aged and them who abandon the aged. Pardon the awful perversity of little children who insist upon their legal measure of learning despite the deficiencies of classrooms and schoolhouses.
Now, in 1949, there are 900,000 classrooms in use.
This is two-thirds of the actual need.
We need 450,000 additional classrooms right now.
Right now, we are short 125,000 qualified teachers.
Some of our children are being taught in empty stores, in hallways, in cafeterias.
During the war, because there was no housing near my factory, I slept in shifts. When the men who worked the night shift got out, I got in. It was a hot bed. Now my kid goes to school and he studies in shifts. My kid is learning in a hot seat. And it's no joke.
If it's bad now, it will be worse later. We forgot to plan for the children.
And though the Lord give you sparing bread and scant water, yet shall not thy teacher hide himself any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teacher, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it. Of all occupations, that of the teacher is most blessed. For he who teaches a child stands in the place of him who begot the child. It is a holy profession, and perhaps therefore a dishonored profession. In hundreds of rural schools, this happens every year.
Miss Nelson, what kind of letter you sent me?
What does it look like? It's my resignation.
Oh, we need you here. Miss Nelson, you're a good teacher.
I'm resigning.
You spent 4 years in normal school. You did 6 months of graduate work. Miss Nelson, you can't just throw that away.
I can and I do. I quit. I'm getting another job.
What will you do?
I've been hired to wait on tables at the Depot Diner.
Why not? You'll make more money there. I wish I had some gumption, Miss Nelson. They call me a principal. I get paid just a little more than a plumber's helper. 4 years of high school, 4 years of college, 2 years of graduate work, 25 years of teaching experience. Go on, Miss Nelson, run before you're trapped like me.
The average earnings of all teachers is 9% below the average earnings of all employed persons in the United States.
And on top of that, you're not even a teacher. You're a policeman. 60 children in a classroom made to accommodate 25 children. You're lucky if you can just maintain order.
Of all transgressions for which we say, Al Cheche Chotonu, perhaps this is the most grievous. For we are stealing from our children. This is the statement of Oscar R. Ewing, Federal Security Administrator.
Public school education in America has become a lottery. If your child is lucky, you live in a community in which qualified teachers develop his aptitudes and talents and equip him to become a good provider and a good citizen. If he is unlucky, he attends a school manned by incompetence, enters the world shabbily equipped, and through no fault of his own, has less chance to make the most of himself.
My transgression. And if this is an American story, how much worse is the European story? And how much worse than Europe is Asia? And how much worse than Asia is Africa. Al Cheche Chotonu, for the sin which we have committed before thee against our neighbor, forgive us. On the Day of Atonement, the ram's horn sounds for all the strivings of man and for all his frustrations. The book is nearly sealed, O Lord, the gate is closing. Be thou gracious in judgment of them whom we have forgotten and alienated and oppressed. Remember them in mercy, for they are forgotten because they are small in number, and alienated because of the pigment of their skin, and oppressed because of their weakness. Teach me to oppose evil without exaggerating the evil, and train me to build righteousness without magnifying myself. Give me the rectitude to fight injustice, especially my own. And for all men and women throughout the world, for America, for my neighbors, for their sons, for the homeless who sleep in the desert, for all who dream and suffer the mark of disappointment, for the sick who lie abed in pain, for them, and for my wife, and for my children, and for myself, I call out to you, open unto us the gates, even at the time of the closing of the gates. For the day is going fast, and the sun is low in the heavens. Yea, even as the sun doth set, O let us enter in thy gate.
The
shop. Beis nei la shop. Ki fanna.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. And now we take pleasure in presenting Mr. Michael A. Stavitsky of Newark, New Jersey, president of the American Association for Jewish Education. Mr. Stavitsky.
Friends, the great strength of the American people has been its willingness to note its imperfections while taking justifiable pride in its accomplishments. Self-criticism is the highest form of criticism, a sign of the mature mind striving to better itself. It is the indispensable first step of progress. On the Day of Atonement, all Jews everywhere reflect on their sins of omission and commission. This year we think of the confused state of the world, and what a much better world this would be if all men and governments lived by righteousness and justice. We are profoundly thankful for the establishment of the State of Israel and for America's role in helping to make that possible. We think, with hope for all mankind, of our country and its evolving democratic way of life, which has drawn so much of its inspiration from the prophets and sages, the torchbearers of Judaism. And we think, too, of how much more we might do for our children and youth in supplementing their general education with a knowledge and appreciation of our cultural heritage. As informed, devoted, and dignified Jews, they are so much better equipped for life and better prepared to contribute to an American life of righteousness and justice. We have been neglectful of our young, and for this we ask forgiveness and the privilege to make amends. Let us resolve that no longer shall tens of thousands of Jewish children throughout America grow up utterly ignorant of their traditions and culture. No longer shall hundreds of thousands of Jewish children receive a meager Jewish education, and no longer shall our higher institutions of Jewish learning be inadequately maintained. During this High Holy Day season, which also brings Jewish Education Month and week, and in keeping with our great Hebrew tradition, we resolve to consecrate ourselves to the promotion of Torah by intensifying and expanding Jewish education in our community life. We are convinced that Torah, broadly conceived and strengthened by the ideals of American democracy, will serve all of us as a beacon of light to dispel the clouds of antisocial forces that are still loose in the world about us.
Thank you, Mr. Stavisky. You're tuned for the stars on NBC.